Well, good evening, everyone. I just invite you to enter into the presence of the Lord with us tonight. It is very good to see all of you. Appreciate all of you. You guys are wonderful, wonderful family of God. Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord, together with one voice, Lord, in one accord, one spirit, Lord, in unity, Lord, to exalt you and lift you up and to magnify you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, that when Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his blood on the altar of heaven, everything was finished, Lord. So we thank you for all the precious gifts that you've given us. We thank you for all of your precious promises, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are just helping us learn to receive and to walk in what you've already done. And Lord, I just thank you for the word that's coming forth tonight. I thank you that it is going to be good seed, Lord, and it is going to produce much fruit for your glory and for your honor. I thank you, Lord. I just ask you to bless the Setliffs, Lord. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the fire that is shut up in their bones, Lord God, it's passing on to all the rest of us, Father. I thank you for that gift, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither has any deceit was in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Yes.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. For his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities."
Thank you, Jesus.
That is our God, and he reigns.
Praise you, Lord. Y'all may be seated. We'll stay in the presence of God for a moment. What I mean by that is draw, come close. Praise you, Lord. Hold steady. We want to go where God's going tonight, right? Praise you, Lord. My wife, or somebody else told me first, but my wife brought to my attention about somebody that's in the church that's in trouble. Do you all know about that? Am I just catching up? Or if I understand correctly, that there's a word that's been spoken over her that says there's brain death. Is that correct? Her name is Keisha. And I think we've hit high center on this tonight. I'm not going anywhere yet until we get off of it. And I'm not too sure what it's going to take. So I'm trying to understand where we're supposed to go right now. Let me tell you this. The scripture says that if you've ever, let me paraphrase just a little bit. If you've ever known anything good from God, ever in your entire life, meditate on that right now. Meditate on that right now. If God's ever done anything for you, meditate on that for a moment. Let him become real again, fresh and anew, right at this moment. Meditate on that. Think on these things. Now, it is not my opinion. It is the truth, proven many times in front of me, in my life, and in other people's lives, that God doesn't even understand the phrase brain dead. That's a phrase that's out of his understanding. In the Bible, you remember the gentleman that was spoken death over? Jesus said that person's not dead, just sleeping. Do you know what that means? God owns life. And it isn't over until he says it's over. And I don't care what anybody else says. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen those that have been laying on a table and pronounced brain dead, brought back. I've seen more things that I want to talk about tonight, so it's not easy for me. I mean, it's not hard for me to not have to meditate long on what God wants. The hardest thing in the world is to convince people that death is an enemy to God. Sickness and destruction is an enemy to God. We like to sing songs like enemies are destroyed, melted, wiped away at the presence of God. And then we draw back in our prayers, in our faith, and what we expect. Was Christ pronounced dead? Was the law fulfilled in his death? Dead 3 days to make sure he was dead, dead, dead. Which the law stated that if he was dead 3 days, there was no way he could come back. So God waited 3 days for him to say, he's not dead. Just to make sure that we understood that man wasn't in control. That's my God. He's just a bit ornery, but he's never out of control. He likes to show you and I who's boss. He's not a bit worried that Jesus laid in the tomb for 3 days. He's not worried that it'll stink. And if he did stink, so what? God's got some good perfume. Let me read you some scripture right quick. Can you key in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20? Or 20 through, and I'm going to go for a little bit. And I want you to ponder on this verse. Everybody looks at these verses as when the Lord returns. And the Bible tells us that that time is not important because he's already returned. We'll start with verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death. Who brought death into the world? And man's been pronouncing death ever since. God did not bring death into the world because he didn't own any. God can't give you what he doesn't own. And he doesn't own death. So it had to come here, and it's an illegal entry. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. The man Jesus Christ superseded man's words and man's law. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. When? At his return? No. At his resurrection. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. This is speaking of a time when man no longer has a will. Your will has been taken away. Your vote has been taken away. You will be taken or sent according to your previous choices. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Who must reign? The resurrected Christ? The man in the resurrected Christ? The resurrected man in the resurrected Christ shall reign, rule? The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The last enemy to who? Don't take it personal. The last enemy to God is death. You get that? The last enemy to God is death. He hates death. He hates those that die prematurely. He hates the enemy that convinces us that we're to die prematurely. He hates that enemy. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Whoa, can I say that and be accepted? See, it's confusing here. When was all enemies put under his feet? At his resurrection. Are you understanding what I'm saying? At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death was put under Christ's feet. It's still an option, but it's not an option to those that are in Christ Jesus. The promise of God is that those that are in Christ Jesus will never see death. Oh, well, that means those that make it to the... No. Don't be deceived. You do not... The perfect picture of a life is that you serve Jesus Christ. You yearn to look like and act like and be Jesus Christ so much that one day you look in the mirror and you find out you're Jesus Christ. When is that? I don't know, but I pass from that to this. We mourn for what's left. But that person that we call died in Christ never experienced death. His enemy was put under feet when he accepted the fact and not hoped and hoped that all death was put under his feet. That makes sense to you? If this lady, Keisha, believed that death was put under her feet, more importantly, if those around her believed that all death was put under their feet, then we have the right to say, come forth, no matter how long they've been pronounced dead. Because we have that enemy under our feet. Are y'all looking at me strange? Are you believing what I'm telling you? Because God wants us to be an enemy to His enemies. We don't accept an enemy. We stand against an enemy of God. I take a side. I don't want to befriend anything that's not a friend of God. Now, this is not a message that I prepared, so I just believe this is the direction we're going to get together and pray for this lady. But I don't want to pray with anybody that doesn't believe what I'm saying right now. I'd rather you just not pray. The prayer of agreement is the powerful prayer. And if you don't agree, don't weaken anybody else's prayer. That's not an insult. Just, if we all eat Brussels sprouts, you'll leave me out. I don't want to offend you. Just I won't eat them. It's my opinion that they're not edible. So, faith comes by hearing. Not everybody has to agree with me right now, but you will because I'm going to preach the Word. You don't have a choice. I'm sorry. When I speak the Word, it's not an opinion any longer. It's now a law that you must start to come in alignment with. Not because I said it. I'm nobody's judge or jury. Now, when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. The Son Himself will be also subject to Him who put all things under Him. Now, this is a little strange. Just understand this, that God the Father put everything under Jesus' feet. And this is a picture that we got to live by. And one day, when God has decided that enough people have done enough things to please Him, He'll come back. Understand this, God does not own a calendar and He does not own a clock. There's nowhere on the calendar marked, this is the day I'm going to return. There's a formula in the Bible that tells you when He's going to return. And it's up to us to decide when He comes. When we have fulfilled the obligations of God, He will return. Us being His people. Jesus is leading us into becoming unified, a body of Christ, to stand against, in one accord, the enemies of God. And when God sees, son, you've done good and they've done good, then Jesus looks at the Father and says, here. Everything that you've given me authority, everything that you've given me power, I now give to you. When's that going to happen? The minute all of His body says, everything that you've given me in power and everything you've given me authority, I give to you, Jesus. And now we're unified. Now we're the bride of Christ. And God says, woo. We are not going to please God by letting the enemy kill, steal, and destroy. That's the point of this. Because kill, steal, destroy is an enemy to God. And unless we begin to stand up and say, this is not of God, then nothing is going to be placed under Christ's feet, and Christ cannot give it back to God. Was that too complicated what I said? Jesus is looking for a bride that yields and gives everything to Him. God is looking not for a son that's qualified, because he's already qualified. He's looking for the timing when he sees that bride give to Jesus Christ everything, and he can say, now, let's be one. To those that have gone before, they didn't feel death, but they're cheering us on. They're saying, hurry up. We've got the table waiting. Get your act together. I wish we'd have done better before you, but now we're urging you on. I would like for us to please God tonight and take dominion over this attack. And take dominion over the diagnosis. I wish with all my heart that right here at this moment, God could show you your heart in this point. Do you really believe God over a doctor? Too many of us don't. We'll let a doctor destroy our faith. And what I would like for us to do tonight is come into agreement that God is the final word here. One cautionary word. God is God no matter what happens. God's not going to vote where He's God by where He does what you want Him to do. So this is not about Keisha. This is not about our prayer. This is not about brain dead. This is about pleasing the Father. This is all this is about. If Keisha knows God, we're going to steal from Keisha the ability to get there sooner. So in a way, you kind of, in my heart, you kind of hesitate. What's to be absent here is to be present with the Father. Don't pray for me. But that doesn't please God. How is God exalted? You remember how I started this out? If God's ever done any good thing for you at all, think on those things. That's how God's exalted. If this is one of those things that people can look back and say, I remember when they declared you dead and you weren't dead, then we've exalted God in the front of others. That's what this is all about. Not where God can prove Himself one more time. He does not have to. It's not that Jesus needs bruises and stripes one more time. He's not going to. When we decide that God's enough to take care of any diagnosis, any prognostication, any threat, any lie, then we'll be the people He wants us to be. If I don't hear God say it, it hadn't been said yet. I'm going to tell you what set me straight in this as a little testimony. One time a couple of friends came and picked me up and said, we've got to go pray for this lady. For about the fifth time, she's been healed every time, but now again, they said she has cancer and she's going to die. Okay, let's go. And I went, and the family was there, and she's on the bed, I think it was. And when I walked in, I heard God say, never mind. Well, I knew what was going to happen. I knew the lady was going to go to be with the Father. But something rose up in me that I taught faith like you wouldn't believe that night. I grabbed that room and stuff poured out of me that I no more expected. It was faith, 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 believe. Believe in healing, believe in healing, believe in... And I was excited. And they were all excited. And when I left that night and I got home, I said, God, what did I just do? You told me she's going to die. And I told them she didn't need to. Is that wrong? God said, no. No. You teach faith and you let me take care of the rest. I'll take care of the outcome. You just teach the faith like I told you to. And you did, and I'm pleased. Are we servants of God? Or are we interpreters of the Word? I'll tell you how to weaken the Word, and that's interpret it. Just be servants of God. You will never displease God by praying against steal, kill, and destroy. You will never displease God. You'll be right where you're supposed to be doing, exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And there will be a blessing, even if there's a death. How? Not going to interpret. I'm just telling you, it's the way it is. Amen? Now, in case you don't know it, we're praying now. The prayer of agreement is what God is listening for, not how pretty the prayer is. If we're agreeing that what we've read tonight and what we've talked about tonight, if we're agreeing that it's true, then we are praying together. Now, if you'll allow me, I'll lead us in a group prayer. Please, if you don't agree with us, don't shut your eyes. I don't want to say that. Just be quiet. If not, raise your hand, say, oh yeah, do what you will. But let's be in agreement that God's will be done. Well, now, Stan, that leaves it open. No. God's will is that all should be healed, that all should be saved, that all should see eternal life. I know God's will. God's will further than that is that everybody that knows this lady will be blessed, that Pastor Doyle will be blessed. He won't be discouraged if this doesn't turn out like he expects it to turn out. That's where we get hurt. We put our expector out there instead of our believer. Amen? Father, I believe you've given me this tonight. I believe you put this weight on my heart, and I thank you for it. I believe I've led your people in a chant of faith, faith, faith. And now we speak to the mountains. The presence of the Lord visits that room right now in a special way. Not in the normal way, but just a super special way. Where everybody there right now, this moment, knows that God is doing a magnificent thing. You be exalted. You be exalted in front of those doctors. You be exalted in front of that family. You be exalted in front of our pastor. You be exalted in that city and be exalted in this city by what you do. And God, we don't really care what you do. We just care that you do. Your will, your word, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's our desire. Now what we would really like to see is we'd like to see this lady lifted up right there at the exact time that it affects the most people. We'd like for her to say, who in this room called me brain dead? I got a word with you. The word is God. The word is Jesus. The word is healed. Let her become that minister in that room. That's what we, your people, would like. Because we believe that it takes signs and wonders to touch some people. But if you choose another way, Father, your God, your truth, your healing, you be exalted. Your people have asked you to heal. We say to the enemy, stay away. You have no place there. Body, come in alignment to God's word now. Don't resist. Father, one other thing we'd ask you. Those hearts that have been hardened, those hearts that are not yet changed, let them be touched. And let this instance draw people into the kingdom like never before. We don't understand how. That's what we want. We'll leave the how up to you. Let this unity, let this communion, let this agreement accomplish mighty things in your name. And for that we'll be eternally grateful. We will always give you glory and honor and praise. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I tell you something about healing, the prayer of healing? It's always easier to believe for somebody else than it is for yourself. That's why agreement is so important. Somebody needs to come along. People need to come together. And as touching anything, the Scripture says. Why? Because sometimes I can be so sick I can't even believe. Sometimes if a doctor gets a hold of me, he can put enough stuff in me that I couldn't believe if I wanted to. At that point in time, he needs to send some people to fight the good fight of faith for me. Amen? Don't be afraid to fight in the fight of faith. You will never lose in the fight of faith, ever. Ever. I may have told you this, but I'm going to tell you again. To me, I may not get to the lesson tonight. But I had a big old bouncer friend in church. Huge guy. Just a tender heart. And this one lady that I told you about that died, I already knew she was going to die. later on I figured out why, and it's for this instance. We agreed, we believed, we prayed at that lady's feet. We agreed that she was going to be healed, and that's that. That's the way faith people do. But I knew in my heart that she wasn't going to make it. For some reason, we got separated for a little while, this friend of mine, and God put it on my heart one day to, of all things, take him a load of scrap wood for his fireplace. So I stopped my work, and I drove down the hill, and I came up to his door. He's got a load of wood for you. Oh, he's thanking me for the wood. Come on in, sit down for a while. Now listen carefully. There's a reason why God sometimes gives you secrets. We're sitting there visiting, and he begins to put this warrior-like faith about this woman that's going to be healed. Have you heard about her? She's from this and that, and she's doing a little better, whatever he told me. And I can see nearly a venom. Do you know sometimes we can get so powerful in ourselves that we just override God? And I could see this. And it came to a point one time that I know so much she's going to be healed that if God doesn't heal her, isn't a God. He didn't say it, but he came awfully close to that. And so I said, Dave, let me ask you a question. My wife was sitting there. She heard all of this. His wife was sitting there. I said, what if God doesn't heal her? Are you going to tell him to go to hell? Oh, man, he got mad. I thought I was in trouble now. He turned beet red, and I thought, Stan, you better know where the door is. You better know. This guy's huge. And he said, what you see on me right now is the Holy Spirit. I said, baloney. What I see on you right now is rage. Be careful, you can blaspheme. He said, well, I know God's going to heal her. I said, I want to share something with you, and then I'm going to go home. Might be safer that way, huh? I said, the lady's going to die. You're going to be there. You're going to stand by her side. You're going to hold her hand, and you're going to walk her into heaven. And it's going to be the best experience you ever had in your life. You will never understand what happened, but you will be so excited. And I'm through now. I just gave him the word of the Lord, and I'm ready to go home. How long? 5 minutes? Phone rang. We haven't even got a chance to leave yet. We just put her in the hospital. You better come quick. That's quick. I said, Dave, you got a job to do. We got to go home. See you later. This is 10 o'clock at night. We drove about 45 minutes or an hour up the hill to our house. And the next morning I'm out and I'm working on this house. And this big old guy had this little bitty Geo Metro or something. It just, he didn't get in it, he put it on. And here he comes flying up my driveway, and I thought, uh-oh, what's going on now? And he comes out of that car and out of that car, and he was glowing. He was glowing. And he just couldn't hardly talk. He was so excited. And he said, Stan, you were right. You were right. Let me tell you what happened. He said, about 2 o'clock this morning, the family was all in there, the friends were in there, the church family, and they were chanting and they were praying and they were going on, and they were cursing the enemy. And he said, God spoke to me and said, get him out of here. I can't do what I need to do with him in here. He's the bouncer. He said, everybody out. God says, everybody out. And they started getting outside. He said, go outside the room and wait. One guy, his best friend, stayed, and I'll stay in here with you. He said, no, you will not. You will get out now. They went outside. They continued to pray. He went over and grabbed our hand, and he said, Stan, I saw her go to heaven. Just like that. He said, I don't understand. If I was mad at you when you told me, and now I'm so glad I can't contain it, and I don't even know why. It was exactly like you said. I said, ready to do it again, Dave? Come on, let's go through the test. You ready to believe for somebody and watch them die? Because if it's that exciting, it doesn't make any difference if they live or die. God, you're going to give him praise forever. I know you will, Dave. And you don't even know why, and I know you'll do it. Now we need to be that way. We need to know some secrets that God wants to tell us. He needed me as a lifesaver. Do you understand that? I saved his life that night. He couldn't have done that without a word from God. He wouldn't have made it. His mind was set. God picked a bouncer so he could kick him out of the room. And they listened. All he needs is somebody to be willing to go take a load of wood or whatever. And just bold enough to say, I don't care what you think, this is what's going to happen. Whose life was saved that night? So we prayed that somebody was healed. I didn't know that back then when I thought I'm being the guinea pig. Going here preaching faith and knowing the lady's going to die. What are you doing to me, God? Well, we forget he doesn't own a clock. It's his timing. He knew exactly what he was doing. I was the guy that was going to be used to go at a later date to save a life, all right? Dave's. Not hers. When God says she's got to come on, that means she's going to heaven. She's not losing. You understand the final healing is to no longer be in a body that can get sick? That's the final healing. So that is what we got. We got her healed. And we got him healed. And it did me a world of good. Nobody lost. Nobody was the loser. Except those that really, really didn't trust God. Guys, we need to be so sold out on God that we can talk about him good when it don't feel so good. And then if we lose, that's what everybody will tell us. We lost. We know we won. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else saw. But I'll bet you a dollar. All of those other friends, they didn't think it was such a great thing. She died. We were praying. Ooh. For God so loved that he gave. Do we love God enough to give? First, our pride. Second, our reasoning. Man, your reasoning, my reasoning is our biggest enemy. The third one is our want. It's a terrible thing, our wanter. God, if I go up there and stand in front of those people, this is what I want. He said, I don't care what you want. I learned a number of years back through experiences like this. You remember when the donkey spoke and somebody got saved? Are you willing to be the donkey? Are you willing for God to say, I can use any old donkey, just become the donkey? Don't put your wonder out there and say, I want to be the one that rides the donkey. Just say, God, if I'm the donkey, here I am. Let me be strong enough to carry those that just have to be the donkey. So my favorite saying is, God can use any old donkey. I can even color it up if you'd like. Because I can fit the other colors too. You believe what I'm telling you tonight? I believe that God visited me a moment ago for a purpose. Now I want you to believe that no matter what happens, everybody up here and there is saved and healed. No matter what the doctors say, I don't care if she goes in the ground. She's saved and healed. And those around her are saved and healed. And you are saved and healed because you entered into this thing. Y'all agree with me on that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What time is it? Tell me what time it is, if I care. God's timing is good. Anybody want to share anything? Anybody have a load on their heart they need to get rid of? I just got rid of mine, so. Surely, He has borne our griefs. You know what that means? We don't have any more right to grieve. We don't have any more right to grieve. The world will tell you if something hurts you, grieve for a while. When my dad and my mom died, my brother said, Stan, you're not grieving. You must grieve. You must give yourself time to grieve. Well, surely he's borne my grieving, my grief. I don't have the right to grieve. Can I miss them? Yes. But not, please, look at the alternative. You want them back? Would you take somebody out of heaven so you would have some pleasure? Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my wrongdoings, my transgressions. That means my history goes away. He was bruised for my iniquities. You got to pay for things. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. If you don't leave here peaceful tonight, you want to crucify Him again. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He didn't enjoy it the first time. He wants to do it again and again and again. Enough. He didn't enjoy it enough. And by His stripes, we are healed. This is, can I become a little child just for a second? By His stripes, we are healed. There is no other message. There's no alternative. I was laying in bed early this morning. I thought about teaching on this tonight. But somewhere in the back, and it may be tied to this, I heard a crazy... You ever heard somebody say they were full of cancer? You ever hear anybody say that about somebody? They're full of cancer. I heard my spirit in my sleep yelling, "I'm full of healing. I'm full of healing." Well, there must not be any room for cancer. If I'm full, I'm full. I'm full of poverty. Oh, no. Healing. Healing doesn't just talk about physical things. I'm full. I don't know how many times during that night I heard there would be this attack and all of it. And I'm asleep in all of this. And I could hear myself screaming, "But I'm full of healing. I'm full of Jesus. I'm full of this. I don't have any room for that." No, you can't put that on me. I'm not going to have it on me. I'm not going to have it in me because I'm full. By His stripes, case is closed. I'm healed. Well, you don't look so healed. You need to get your eyes fixed. Oh God, heal their eyes. Let them see what's really going on. How do you see me healed? I pray again if you don't. Because I'm healed. You're the one that's sick. Something wrong with your eyes. We've all gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what that last statement is? You don't have any reason or right to be sick. Your past can no longer determine now or your future. When I farmed all the time, there is no telling how much pesticides I drank, ate, breathed, assimilated. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity, stupidity of us all. So I'm still healed. That last sentence says, no. You don't have the right to be anything but peace, forgiven, healed. When you look at somebody where they're wounded or whatever, don't give them the right to be sick. Preach to them the right to be healed. Amen. If you want to die, you can die. But here's the offer. And God will never force you to be saved or healed. But choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses. And I highly recommend this day you choose. Because death is God's enemy. He has no other recommendation. He couldn't recommend death. He doesn't own death. You know who's going to decide when you die? You. I have run the race. Finished the course. Best I can tell, there's nothing else that I need to do. I'm gone. Don't hold hands with me at that time, because I'm going. Let me go. If I would drop dead right here, she has instructions, don't give up quick. I may not be through. Don't take this stupid body's decision. If you did wrong, I'll fuss at you when I get back, but you better not. You better keep trying. Because the enemy's going to keep trying. I don't know if y'all ever read about T.L. Osborne, but T.L. Osborne, his wife was dating. Her name was Daisy. And she died one day. How long did he do this? It was either 3 or 5 days he laid on her and prayed and said, "God, I can't do what you want me to do by myself. I am not through with this woman. This is my gift. You can't take her from me." And it was either 3 days or 5 days she came back to life. He had permission from God to do that. Do you understand that? He didn't do that on his own. He had permission from God. If we have permission from God to speak some of the crazy things that I've already talked about tonight, then we need to do it. And faith, healing, we all must speak of those things, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Get it down. If you're not preaching faith, you're not pleasing God. And He's the breath that I breathe. In fact, He's more important than my next breath. That's a song. It's not a song. It's the truth. I'd rather please God than have my next breath. Try holding your breath and see how long your breath it is before your breath becomes important. You all want to stand with me? Once again, all hearts clear. Anybody need to say anything? Oh man, oh me, bow we. Then I will assume that silence is consent. So Father, we consent to You right now. Right now. We submit and yield to Your will, knowing that it is always good and never bad. Once again, body be healed. In Jesus' name. All that agree, no more silence. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank You for Your time.